Praise God, praise God. Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Choate of Revival Today. I have another word for you. I believe and pray that you enjoy it. For the grace.
Today's message I'm going to talk about, for the grace. Turn to somebody and say, for the grace. That word for the grace, the word grace means unmerited favor. It was only for the grace of God that we're able to wake up this morning in our right mind. Some did not wake up this morning. I'm going to talk about a few things because I want to talk to the people this morning, all of you this morning, about understanding a peace that surpasses all understanding. How many of you want to be blessed? Raise your hand. I'm going to go over a few instructions today because I want to really line the church up with the will of God. Because right now we're living in a time where there's much confusion. There's spirits in the atmosphere and even in the church world. Even to the point where it seems like there's no peace no matter where you go. You come into the house of God and people might be debating over politics. You work at your job and nobody can trust one another. But I still say for the grace. And the reason why is because God wants the church to know that we have to be in a place spiritually ready to fight a spiritual battle so that we can be standing in the last days. So I'm going to talk to you about how to uproot some things that you have going on in your life. First of all, when I use the word uproot, that means there's something that is really down deep and well planted. And some of us have been asking ourselves, Lord, when are you going to deliver me from what I'm going through? And I'm going to talk to you about that right now. So I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 14 chapter and the 12th verse. I'm going to show you right now what's going on in the atmosphere, and I'm going to show you how Jesus began to speak to the disciples and to the people as he taught them, because you got to realize during the time when Jesus was here, do you know that his biggest adversary was the church? Uh-oh. Jesus' biggest adversary was the church because Jesus was not doing things the way they thought it should go. Because back in them days, people were so much into doing certain things only according to what they were used to doing because it was custom or it was ritual or because they knew the Ten Commandments, but they didn't know the heart of Christ. And because they didn't know the heart of Christ, they didn't understand that Jesus dealt a lot with grace. Turn to somebody and say, grace. So let's look at the scripture because I'm going to set this up. It says in Hebrews 14, 12, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Say that to somebody, follow peace. With all men. Now, without which you shall not see the Lord. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He said, follow peace with everyone. So he said, look least to any man that feels to have grace. Reason why I'm going to talk about that today is because I need the church to understand that it was only by the grace of God is that you're saved today. And because of the grace of God, he wants to get the church to understand that we have to set our expectations to forgive. Now, it's hard to forgive because a lot of times forgiveness means you have to release something. That means you got to release what you're feeling in the inner self because that situation is planted down deeply. So when the scripture says, follow peace with all men, it's saying that means you got to bring peace wherever you go. And right now it's hard because so many people are in an uproar. But I'm going to talk to the church this morning because I believe that this word is going to meet you where you're at. Amen. Give God some praise. If you turn with me to Matthew 7 chapter in the 22nd verse, just want to set up where I'm going. Jesus began to say to the people, he said, this is what's going on with my church. Now, remember I said in the beginning that a lot of times he was addressing the church. A lot of times what we do is we as a church jump on the world. We talk to the world and we go and we tell them how they should be. But the church is not living according to the word of God. The church, we got to understand that our job is not to judge. Our job is to restore. Because you have to understand, only for the grace of God, you're here today. So the next scripture, this is what Jesus began to say, because I don't have it up there. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? See, Jesus said, in the last days. Now, if he's saying to you that many are going to say to me, have I not done some things in the name of the Lord? That's not the world, church. That's not those that aren't in the Lord. He's talking to the church because many in the last day are trying to ride on their deeds. And what God is saying is that only because of the grace is the reason why you're saved. So the only way you're going to draw is through loving kindness and working grace in somebody's life. How many of you ready to be a blessing to somebody that offended you? If you're not ready to be a blessing to somebody, even though they despitefully use you, what the word said, love those that despitefully use you. Reason why I need you to get to this place spiritually, because in the latter days, Jesus began to say to them that many are going to say to me in the last days, have I not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So too many of us today, we're doing things in the name of the Lord. We're working all the time. We're donating time. We're giving up our money. We're doing work, work, work. But Jesus said, he said, in the end, depart from me, ye whose work is in iniquity. That means the stuff that you are applying your time to, church, added up to a hill of beans. Because you did not line yourself up with the grace of God. Right now, people need to be delivered, and we're going through some things even spiritually, and people are coming into the house of God trying to get delivered, but when they come into the house of God, we're cornering them in corners trying to sell them a political view. We're bringing them in a corner, and we're trying to sell them a self-righteousness standard. But I want you to know the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the only way you're going to get through to a breakthrough is through the grace. Because there's nothing about me that's any greater than you. So God is saying that he wants the church to know how to hold on to their blessing. But to hold on to your blessing, you have to be firmly rooted. Rooted means that you're not shaken and you're not pulled up from your roots every time something comes up against you. I can tell a man or a woman if they really have integrity is if they can stand when everything's against them. I want you to know that the world is looking for a God. They're looking for a relationship with God in a way where they will find deliverance. And deliverance is not coming because we're not following the peace with all men. Because we're trying to team up with the politics of the land. We're trying to team up with people that side the way we want to think. But I need you to know you only can team up with Christ to get into the kingdom. And the Christ that I know is about the least of us. He wants you to understand that he cares about your every need. People aren't going to always care about you. They're not going to always care about your need. Sometimes people are going to look at you straight in your face and wish you were dead. But you have to have something different. And what you see, the thing is, we're living in a time where this word has to become real. We're done with the days of where we can carry banners. You're not going to be safe when you truly walk in holiness. So let's turn to the next scripture. And I'm about done. Amen. I hope you're enjoying this. Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter, 3-9. And the thing is Jesus continuously tried to set the tone for the church. Say, set the tone. The Bible says, broad is a way that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is a way that leadeth to light. Even in the church, we're trying to get on the broader opinion. The house of God has to be a place that is safe for everyone. Because you got to remember, when Jesus met the woman, the Samaritan woman, she was sitting at the well, and she began to say to him, listen, I'm a Samaritan. You shouldn't be around me. She knew that his people did not associate with their people. But instead, Jesus took a chance. How many of us are ready to take a chance and be a blessing to somebody out other than yourself? Too many times we want to be blessed. We say, Lord, I want you to bless me. This here is going to tell you when you're truly blessed. So we know the Beatitudes. So it says here, go ahead, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Number one. Fourth verse says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. See, now right now, Jesus is setting them up. He's saying, you want to be blessed. So this is the standard of blessings. Watch this. It says, in the next verse, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst after righteousness means you desire the things of God. If you want to be blessed, you have to turn on that hunger and thirst. So if you want to be blessed, you got to now work towards it. So this is where Jesus begins to say, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst means you need it. You want it so bad. Right now, the church don't want it enough. You could barely fill the churches all over the country, or even now before this pandemic. Don't you know the enemy is trying to clean out the church? But I need you to understand what God is truly doing. He's taking his house back. This is what God has shown me. He said, I'm taking my property back. He said, because the church has defiled the house, because the church has brought in every spirit of the land instead of bringing in blessings and grace. So let's go on to the next scripture. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See that? It says, if you're merciful, you're going to obtain mercy. That's hard to do. Let me tell you, I grew up in Nashville, New Hampshire all my life. And we were one of the only first black families here. And I remember I was a young boy. I would go to school every day. And when I come home from school, sometime I would cry to my mother because they were teasing me just because of my skin. Then I started going to school, and now they started using the N-word. I never knew that word because in our family we didn't use it. So all of a sudden, guess what I became? A little fighter. I started to fight my own battle almost every day. Where every time I was in school, I was in the principal's office for jacking someone up. But one day, and I remember one day, we were playing baseball, and one of the kids in the neighborhood, he was a big kid, and he came around us and he said, listen, I want your ball and your bat. And my mind was made up that day that this bat is going to meet his head. I was tired of being bullied, so I said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I was younger than this kid. I was probably only 12 years old at that time, and he was like 18. But what began to grow in me was a spirit of vengeance. You got to understand where I'm going with this. The spirit of vengeance in me became so violent that every time someone would say the N-word, I was ready to take them out. And I grew up in church. But why was I getting this way? Because all of a sudden I allowed something to take root in my heart and change my view about people because of the way they treated me. When my mother brought me in the room, she said, son, you cannot beat up everyone that says that to you. But I was tired of being in class where every time they would talk, they talk about slavery. That's the only time they give you credit that you were a slave. So my hurt, and every time they want, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're just black. You're not, you know, and so if you start to like someone, oh, you can't like her because the parents don't like you. I remember when I started a prayer group in my neighborhood, and the parents said to their children, I don't want you going over their house because I don't want you praying with blacks. I need the church to understand that what's going on in the country is going to only be overcome by the spirit of peace. So God is saying, if you want to be blessed and the church wants to be blessed, he said, I'm cleaning it out so that I can now sanitize it. Because the church has taken on a spirit of Bibles and guns, and God is saying that the spirit of peace is gone away because we want vengeance. But when my mother sat me down on my bed, she said, listen, son, you cannot do that every time you get mad. You have to go in another direction. So I remember one day I was starting to do my own landscaping business, and I went by a house, and at this house, it was an old man there, and his lawn needed to be tended. And so I knocked on the door and I said, listen, could I do your lawn? I was laid off for 2 years. And he looked at me and he said, how much? And I said, $50. And he said, it's too much. I can't do it. So I said, okay. I said, 40. He said, it's too much. Then I said, how much would you like me to do it for? Now, he was in his 80s. And he said, $15. And literally that lawn should have been 70. So I said yes to him. And I started coming over every week. And every week I would go over, I would mow his lawn for $15. Then one day he stopped me and said, I want to talk to you. And when he began to talk to me, he says, I don't know why you would help me. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I never liked niggers. I was a manager, and I never hired them. And I began to get hurt in my spirit. Now, guess what was juking up in me? Said that word. He said the word. And I'm a Christian. And then all of a sudden, God said, peace. So I said to him, he said, you know what? I worked in Lowell, and I was a manager, and I never hired them. And I said, why? He said, because they're lazy. I said, have you ever hired one? No. And I said, that's why they don't have anything, because you are in power, and so it's up to you to hire them so that they can have an opportunity. And so all of a sudden, I went home, and I began to come back. Then he called me into his house. Now he's on a breathing tank. He said to me, I'm ready to die. And he says, can you forgive me? And he said, you know what? You taught me something. Because you cared about me and you had no reason to. I need the church to understand that when he talks about the gospel of peace, it means that you got to go dig deep where the roots are, and you got to uproot things that are in your heart that will cause you to be divided or will cause you to hate. And God says, are you ready to demonstrate the love and kindness Are you ready to demonstrate it with your loved ones? Are you ready to demonstrate it in your situation at work? Instead of always me, 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 God is saying release so that you shall be blessed. Give God some praise. So, the next scripture, if you go there, in the 10th it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. In matter of fact, let me do all of them. 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Someone say, the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. That's why when Jesus began to teach in the Lord's Prayer, he said, what did he say? He said, I forgive our debts as I forgive my what? You don't get blessed until you first release. You do not grow spiritually. See, what we're trying to do is we're growing spiritually by this. Show up at another meeting. Hallelujah. Or shouting. That is not growing spiritually. God said growing spiritually is when you're ready to demonstrate something that hurts you, that actually changes your nature. Because my nature was to jack them up. My nature was, mom and dad, this world is cruel. I'm only 7 years old, and no one likes me just because of my skin. I went to a school where I was almost the only black kid in every class all the way up to high school. Then I went to work. I was the only black. And then you try to say that you know how to demonstrate more righteousness. I need you to know God is saying demonstration means that you got to surrender yourself. Because only way you can be saved is say, I surrender. When we as a people, that means black and white, Spanish, poor, rich, all of us learn to surrender something, even though it hurts. God said you're actually uprooting some roots. You're digging them up. You're loosening that ground that is all messed up and defiled. And guess what? When you do that, guess what? Breakthrough is coming. Some of us have something deep in our heart because somebody did us wrong or somebody treated you wrong. And Jesus is saying, release that and outlove them. Give God some praise. So it says, blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Uh-oh. This is Jesus. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they... How many want to see the Lord? Check this next one out. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Uh-oh. You see what's going on today. And the reason why I'm having this talk with the church, I need you to understand. I've been having pastors corner me, talk to me all the time, call me, and say, what do you think about what's going on? And when you say something different, they get shooken up because they're all caught up in the politics. But you got to understand that Jesus was always on the side of the oppressed. Look at every scripture. Israel, they were delivered. He didn't deliver the Christians. He delivered the people. I need you to know that we have to change our heart. The Bible says, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then there shall be healing in the land. We're talking to a country that has lost its sight. We're talking to churches that have lost their sight. That's why Jesus said he's going to say in the last days, depart from me. Some of us, he's saying depart because we keep on getting caught up in the mess. Now, I need you to know why. Some people even say to me, Pastor, I notice you don't bring politics in this place. You want to know why? And I'm telling you right now, everyone that's a member of this ministry is going to understand that my job is to win your soul. You might have a table issue, something that you're concerned about for you and your household. The church don't belong in that. Reason why I want you to know this is because the devil is deceptive, and he comes as an angel of light. And I need the church to understand this, because I want everyone here to know is I'm on side Jesus. I'm going to do all that I can to represent the kingdom of Christ. And that means if I got to go down because somebody don't like you telling them that they need to live only according to the word, the church has to be a place that is called safe. So that when that young lady comes in that might have committed abortion, and all of a sudden that we're up there talking about people and not knowing that she is broken. Church, wake up and see that there are people broken. They need to see the truth. And the truth is you. I had someone on the street tell me, listen, I don't want nothing to do with Christians because they're hateful. I remember one of our ministers told us, a friend let them know that they were doing a rally in Concord, and it was a Christian rally. And she said she began to look at the thing, and it said, they're going to come with Bibles and guns. I need you to know that if you don't identify with the word peace, because Jesus kept on saying word peace, 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 peace. Even when Peter was beside him and he cut the soldier's ear off, he was upset with Peter. You know, if I was a fighter and I just kept fighting and fighting in the name of Jesus, then he didn't fight my battle. I need you to know, church, can you outlove? Are you willing to outlove? Are you willing to outlove your situation? Meaning even in your household, your family members, your friends, those around you, can you outlove them? Are you ready for that? Because when you're ready to do that, it says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see that word? For righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. So you're going to be persecuted. Even the church is going to talk about you. Don't you know the church was part of putting Christ on the cross? We celebrate it all the time and don't realize it was the Jesus people putting him on the cross because he wasn't about their religious ways. God is saying, Jesus said, in the last days, I'm going to say to the church, depart from me. He said to the church, not the world. Then in the next scripture, he began to say to everybody, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. He said, it's like unto a wedding. He said, I went out and invited those that were supposed to come, but they weren't ready. Some said, I got to tend to my business. Others said, I got to tend to my marriage. Then Jesus said to the servant, go out on the highways and byways and find whoever will be willing to, find whoever will be willing. He wants a will. See, I need you to understand, God is not begging you to come to church. God is not begging you to serve him. You need him. I need him. Because my problems is bigger than me. And the only way I'm going to get breakthrough is I got to go before him on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me for what I have done. Forgive me for how I judge somebody. Forgive me how I view somebody. I remember when the pastor talked to me about these things that are going on. He says, you know, I'm afraid to be honest with my church. I said, what do you mean? He said, if I really tell them what they should do, they won't come back again. But Jesus said, he said, blessed are those that are willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. See, righteousness is different than religious. Right is right. You got to remember that all were born of sin, and none of us were worthy to get in. And because he had freed you from sin, we walk around as we're polished. But I'm just a wretch undone. And I'm constantly undone. and I'm constantly need Jesus to fix me up. How many are there where you just constantly need Jesus to fix you up? Because it's my stuff that stink. It's my stuff that's wrong. It's not the world. It's not, see, because Jesus said the last day is going to come and we can't change the script. The church can't outpray the script. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he began to cry and said, Lord, remove this cup from me, because he knew he was going to get killed. But then he said, Lord, not my will. See, you got to understand, my will is jack him up. My will was hate back. So when Jesus, when Moses went into free the people, don't you know, no one lets you go freely. They will demonize you. They will come at you. They will come at you with all force and then tell you how to be peaceful. They'll tell you how to be peaceful as they lynch you. Reason why I'm talking like this, church, because I need you to know, and even all of us that are here today, white, black, Spanish, guess what? He says, my people are all people. My church is all people. It's not the land of the politics. My church is a place that you have to be able to come and see the release of the Holy Ghost so that yokes can be broken and so those that are oppressed can be free. The only way you're going to see Jesus, the only way you're going to see Jesus, you have to walk in peace. How many of us are ready to walk in peace? Let us stand. And it says there, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. There is the kingdom of heaven. And it says, blessed are ye whom men shall revere you. And persecute you. So you're going to be blessed when they persecute you. Guess who's persecuting Jesus? The church, the people that are saved, the preachers, the ones that know the scriptures better than you. And they shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. You see that word? They will what? They will say all manner of evil against you. Some are going to say all manner of evil against you. But I want you to know, turn to your right and left, said, I got your back. I got your back. See, you notice this church is interracial. It's not black, white, black. I want you to let everyone know, I got your back. Your pastor got your back. I'm not afraid of no senator, no politician, no president. I'm going to say what thus said the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. I got your back. And I'll end with this. A parent came to me. You want to know why we're here in this city? Because there's a need for the little kids. I had a parent come to me and said, you know what, Pastor? My daughter felt she was ugly because she's black. And he said, I'm glad she comes here because now she feels accepted. I need you to understand. We have to understand one another. He know, huh? Listen, I let you have your political views, whatever you want to put online. I don't touch that stuff. I'm not in it. I don't want to be part of it, okay? So all you know that, okay? Say, Pastor ain't in that mess. But I want you to know I got your back. If you're in a corner and need someone to call that's really going to be praying for you, it's going to really go to court for you, that's really going to say what thus said the Lord for you, I got your back. And when you vote for you and your household. Don't vote for no church, no person, no people. Let God tell you what to do with your vote. But that's not the church. Reason why? We got to rise above the mess. A unified world.
Praise God for the grace of God. That's why we're saved. So it's important that we have grace and tolerance for one another. Listen, it is a battle that's being fought, but guess what? It's in God's hands. So all of you that are worried about what's going on, guess what? Our God is still in control. Again, I hope and pray you enjoy the broadcast. And listen, give us a call or come check us out at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. If you're ever visiting in the area, come check us out. Hang out with us. Our service is at 10 a.m. Also, if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, go to houseofpraisenep.org and click on donate, and you can bless this ministry. We hope to hear from you real soon. Have a good day.